Psalm 2 is where we are. Psalm 2. And we're getting very near the end of our study of this psalm. And I might just tell you that I have another psalm lined up as soon as we finish this one. We have one study, I think, after today, which we likely will do tomorrow. Providing you're all still well enough to be here tomorrow and haven't been re-smitten by the bug. Let's read the section that we're at then in Psalm 2. It's the last three verses of this Psalm 2. Verse 10. Be wise now, therefore. You know that the word therefore always comes when a conclusion is being drawn. That's as if the Lord has said, I have said, I have said, I have said. Now, therefore, in the light of what I've said, here is what you should do. And here is the instructions that are given. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, we have already started our study of the last three verses, and I'll just remind you how that I have said that the psalm divides up into four sections, three verses each. This last three verses concerns what the gospel recommends sinful, rebellious man to do. I'm sure you remember the divisions. The rebellion, the first three verses. God's reaction or response, the next three verses. And then the basis of the Savior's authority and kingdom in the next three verses. And now in the final three verses, we're looking at the recommendations of the gospel. And we've already begun the study, as I've said, and we were looking at the first section, which told us to whom the gospel was directed, the subjects of the gospel. Who was the Lord talking to when he was giving these recommendations? Well, you have it there in verse 10. Being wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. That's who the Lord was addressing. That's who the gospel was coming to. The very people who in verse 1 are in rebellion. This shows the mercy of the Lord, boys and girls, that God should speak in love and kindness and mercy to those who are busy rebelling against God. But then, of course, we remember what the Savior said. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So he came to speak to those who were in rebellion against God. So we considered, and it's nearly a week ago, the subjects addressed in these last three verses. Now we come today to the substance. I'm trying to make it easy by giving you all these alliterated headings. The substance of the invitation. In other words, just what is in this invitation? What are the contents of this invitation? Well, look at it. We're told here to be instructed, to be wise. Verse 11, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. So there you have the substance of the gospel, what men are told they should do, what you're told you should do. You can look at this and say, well, am I doing this? Am I doing what I'm told to do in the gospel? The first thing we'll look at is the fact that the gospel tells us to be wise and take instruction. Be wise. Now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. It is the most stupid thing that anybody can do to take no heed to what God says. That's the stupidest thing you can do. That's the most unwise thing you can do. To ignore what the Bible says, what the gospel tells us, is to act just as stupidly as you possibly can. Now, I know that the world is filled with people who believe that the wisest thing is just to laugh at the Bible. to laugh at what God says. They think that those who try to live by the teachings of the Bible, the silliest of people, that's what they think. The most of the folk out there in the world. But the one who obeys the gospel is acting most wisely. Most wisely. And there's a day coming when the wisdom of such a person will be seen by all of mankind. All will see one day how wise was the person who obeyed the law. Be wise, take instruction. You can't oppose, fight the Lord Jesus and hope to win. You can't. That's what the Lord is saying here. You people who are in rebellion, verses 1, 2, verse 2 says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Well, says the Lord, you can't win. You're acting most unwisely. Listen to what I tell you and be instructed. Well, boys and girls, we can never be wise until we are instructed by the gospel. See that book you have in your hand? That book is from cover to cover. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Now, to obey it will cause you to be out of step with nearly everybody else in the world. And nearly everybody else in the world will laugh at you and say, why are you so stupid and foolish as to believe the Bible? But they're showing their lack of wisdom and lack of learning when they mock you for obeying the wisdom of God that is given in the Bible. You know, man's natural state is ignorance. And there's no place that proves this more clearly than this place. Why are you here? Why did you get up this morning, get dressed, get your breakfast, jump in the car and come here? Because you need to be taught. You're here to learn. You're here to learn. When you were born, you didn't know that one and one is two. You didn't know anything about the English language. In fact, you didn't know anything about any language. All you could do was... That's all you could do. When you were hungry, you couldn't say, excuse me, mother, I'm very hungry, could you bring me a bottle? No, all you could do was open your mouth wide and go... And mother knew, that's a sure sign that baby's hungry. You didn't know anything when you were born. And from then on, instruction began. Mum taught you a lot of things. And then you came to school to start learning all the things you have to learn in school. And let me tell you, when you finish school, the learning goes on. I'm still learning. I'm still learning. Chiefly, I'm learning that I'm not nearly as smart as I thought I was. We learn about ourselves throughout our whole life. We ought to, anyway. And we learn about the Lord if we study the Bible. For there he reveals himself. There he shows us who he is, what he is, and his purpose. But boys and girls, from the words here spoken, we learn that man is an ignorant being. Be wise. Take instruction. Because though you're kings and though you're judges, and you think you know everything, you don't. You don't. That's what the Lord is saying. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read it to you, but remember it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul describes basically mankind, the whole of mankind. And he says of them, having the understanding darkened, being alienated, that's totally separated, from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, in those words, we have a very dark picture painted of man. He doesn't know anything. He's blind. He's ignorant. He's darkened. And that's how it is. And that can only be changed and altered through the gospel. It's only through the gospel that the darkness and the ignorance and the blindness will be driven away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, Peter urges those to whom he's writing. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. We are to fashion ourselves according to the Bible. When you stand in front of a mirror, you probably did this morning, Kruletai, dust off anything. The mirror helped you to do that. You couldn't do that without the mirror. If you hold up the Bible, it will reflect your image. And you'll see what's wrong with you. You'll see the specks of dust. You'll see what's not straightened. You'll see all the things that are wrong with you. And you can fashion yourselves, not according to the ignorance that fills mankind, but according to the truth of God. Do you understand? Then, notice the second exhortation. We're told to be wise and to learn, take instruction. I wanted to say at the very beginning, it slipped my mind, for as we thought that just came to me, and I didn't include it, as it were, in my notes. But I want you to learn something concerning all that is said here. The gospel didn't begin with the Lord Jesus and the apostles. The gospel was always made known to man. Adam heard the gospel, and every generation that followed Adam heard the gospel. So here is the gospel long, long ago, written down in the second Psalm. And don't you ever heed anybody who tells you that the Old Testament people, they didn't understand the gospel. That's nonsense. They did. Understood it very well. Understood it a lot better sometimes than many Christians today. For instance, when we want to learn about the Lord Jesus and what it was he did at Calvary, where do we go? Well, one of the places we can go is to Isaiah chapter 53, where we're told he was wounded for our transgressions. So the gospel has been presented to men since the dawn of time. I was thinking about this during the night, and I thought of an illustration. If you were up very early this morning, just after the sun began to rise, and if you were to look out the window, it wasn't very bright, and you could just make out whatever it is you see out of your window. Out of my window, I see the trees across the road, but when the sun's just beginning to rise, the trees are not very clear, nor is the wall around the garden and the hedge and the gate. They're not just very clear. But then an hour later, when the sun has come up, there they all are, as clear as anything. Same tree, same wall, same hedge, same gate. They just weren't very clear when the sun was just beginning to rise. Well, in the Old Testament, the gospel's there, but there's not quite the same light shining. And the truths of the gospel are not quite as clear as they are in the New Testament, when it pleased God to cause the light to really begin to shine. And the things that are revealed to us in the Old Testament, but shadowy, are made very clear in the New Testament. Boys and girls, just as I looked out when the sun was just beginning to rise and saw shadowy trees, they are the same trees that I later could look at much more clearly when the sun was up. Do you understand? Trees hadn't changed. And the truths of the gospel, though a little shadowy in the Old Testament, are just the same truths that are more fully and wonderfully revealed in the New Testament. And here we have it. The Lord is telling these evil people who are in rebellion, be wise and take instruction. Then he goes on, if I might return to what it was I was saying a few minutes ago, the second point is, serve the Lord with fear. That's what the gospel's all about. That's what the gospel tells us to do. Tells us what it is we ought to be doing. Serving the Lord with fear. The service of God is what we are all called to do. We're not to serve ourselves. You were not born into this world to just do what you like. Now, mankind thinks that that's why they're here. I want to do my thing. That's what the world says. That's a modern term. My thing. There was a singer who died not so long ago, and he's a lot wiser now. But just before the end of his life, he sung a song which made him millions, no doubt. And the song was entitled, My Way. I did things my way. What I want to tell you now regarding that man, he is at this moment in a lost sinner's eternity. and he's wishing he had done it God's way. And he'll wish that for endless, endless years. He'll wish it forever that he had done things God's way. God's calling us to service. That's what you were created for. Now, in the mind of men and women, service means drudgery, misery. But the service of God doesn't mean that. I think it's in the Church of Ireland Morning Book of Prayer. In the Church of Ireland and the Church of England and churches like that, they pray the same prayers every time they gather. They read them out of a book. They're all there. Now, when that book was written, it was written by good men. And they wrote it for good reason. They thought they would be helpful to a people that were in total darkness, coming out of the darkness of ignorance of Romanism. And they thought it would be helpful if they could have set before them a pattern for prayer. And one of the things you'll find in the Morning Book of Prayer is a little phrase that I don't know why I should have retained it, but it's this: in whose service is perfect freedom. Do you see how that would appear strange to men? In whose service is perfect freedom. And in the service of God, boys and girls, there is perfect freedom. It is by putting on, as it were, the chains of the gospel that we become perfectly free. Perfectly free. You remember the poor lame man that lay at the temple, and he looked to Peter and the others for help, and Peter spoke a word and God healed them. And he jumped up. He wasn't just happy to sort of scramble to his feet, but he jumped up and he was leaping about, rejoicing and shouting in joy. That's what happens when you get the gospel. You're delivered from bondage. You're delivered from being crippled and set free spiritually, inwardly, to serve God. And when we get to heaven, the freedom will be even more wonderful. Serve the Lord in fear and joy. In reverence, serve Him in reverence and in joy. Oh, I can't tell you nearly strongly enough how true this is. Listen to these words, spoken by the Saviour in Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what a yoke is? Well, it's that piece of timber that in those lands where oxen are used to pull a plough or a cart, or where donkeys are employed in the same labours, it rests upon their shoulders, joins them together, and from it goes back the chains to the plough or the cart or whatever, and that's how they pull the cart. Well, when you come to Christ as a Christian, you put on a yoke that binds you to Christ and to His service. But it's not like the poor donkey that's wearied in his labours, the poor ox that's wearied in his labours and tired by all the work. The Lord Jesus says, my yoke is easy, and if you put it on, you'll find rest. We can't really understand that, how that by working for Christ we find rest. Seems a contradiction, but it's not. It's not. So we're to serve the Lord. How we ought to take notice of this. The service of God is the chief priority of all considerations. You're thinking, you older ones, you're thinking of what will I do when I leave school? What job will I take up? What employment? Just remember this. Whatever employment you take up, chiefly above it, there is your service for God. Whatever job you take, you serve the Lord in that job. You witness for Him. You uphold His truth and His name. I'll come to another point very quickly, for time's really gone. Reconciliation to God is what the gospel calls us to. Verse 12, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Do you know what reconciliation means? Well, take that very phrase, kiss the Son. Does that not bring back to you a story? When the prodigal came home, after fighting with his dad and saying very unkind things about his father, in the far country he realized how wrong he was, how stupid he was, and he was nearly dying of starvation, and he says, I will go home to my father's house and I will confess to him what a fool I have been. And he came home And what's the first thing happened? His father kissed him, fell on his neck, hugged him, kissed the side of his neck. What did that tell him? It told him that my dad loves me. My dad has forgiven me, and I'm welcome in his house. Well, here we have what the gospel is all about. Kiss the Son. You see, boys and girls, we were born not only ignorant, as I said earlier, but we were born enemies of God because of our ignorance. We acted against God. We fought God. We despised God. We rejected God. We did everything wrong. And we need to be reconciled to God. And that's what the gospel calls us to. The gospel tells us, listen, your sins can be forgiven. You can come into the Father's presence and He welcome you because of what Jesus did at the cross. He bore our sins, paid the penalty, and we may now stand in God's presence, reconciled, one with God. That's what the gospel calls us to. Kiss the Son. That's what you have to do. I remember doing it. I remember bowing before the Lord a long time ago and saying, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me. And I was reconciled with God. One last thing, and this is what we have to really note. The invitation of the gospel is reinforced by a threat of certain wrath if we don't heed God's word. Listen to what it says. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. If a little wrath is to be feared and dreaded, a little anger from God is to be trembled at. It's little wonder that we read in Revelation chapter 6 and the verse 16 that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there will be those in open rebellion against Him. And when they see Him coming again, they pray to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and cover them and hide them. Why? The great day of His wrath has come. Here we have the statement that we will perish even under a little wrath. How terrible it will be to encounter the great wrath of God on that day of judgment. Are you covered in the blood? Are you like the Israelite that night of the Passover when the death angel went through the land and where there was no blood, that household was smitten and the firstborn died? Or are you like the Israelite, as I say, safe under the blood? May the Lord have mercy today upon you and may you be secure. Oh, listen and heed what is written here. The rejection of the gospel angers the Lord Jesus. But you can be saved from the anger and judgment of God by kissing the Son, embracing Christ, and making Him yours. Well, the Lord bless you, boys and girls. Give you a good day. Let's bow in prayer. We ask Thee, Lord, to bless the word spoken. Oh, give understanding to us all. Grant Your blessing, Lord Jesus, the enlightening of Thy Spirit. Bless our school today. Thank Thee for those who are able to be here, and may the rest soon be able to be out at school again, for Jesus' sake. Amen.